The revival of the Christian man. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Matthew chapter 19 verse 26. Marxism has this way of viewing any given society, the oppressed and the oppressor. A person is either in one group or the other. Which group you or I will fall into is based on our identity. Karl Marx believed our identity was determined by class, and it was baked into the nature of society. He then concluded that to end oppression, society must change or be changed by revolution. For Marx, it was all based on the ability to own property. Those who owned property were the oppressors. Those who didn't were the oppressed. Marx believed revolution was necessary since most people were not aware of their oppression because of their false consciousness. If they could be awakened, they would gain what he called class consciousness. Through Marxism, the economic implementation of owning property is through its distribution by the state. Jeder nach seinen Fähigkeiten, jedem nach seinen Bedürfnissen. From each according to his ability, to each according to his needs. This is called communism. Conversely, the economic implementation to own property by means of the exchange of goods and services through production is called capitalism. Communism is the oppressive realization of Marxist theory. Freedom ends where oppression begins. While communism may actually sound good to some, it is so utterly unstable as to be practically unachievable. Here's why. When you or I ask who gets to decide what is or isn't oppression, we will be told, "We do." If we ask, "Well, can we talk about it?" They will answer, "No." And so, freedom in this sense will last for only a few seconds. If this sounds familiar, it should. This is the way of wokeness. Or as I prefer to call it, wokeism. It should be understandable. The genetics of wokeism is directly evolved from Marxism, and as operational as genetics is in nature, it flows from the original form of economic communism, through cultural communism, to today's hybridized version. It relies on those whom psychopaths have identified as the disenfranchised, using, instead of class distinctions, like property owners, merchants, etc., they employ the cultural hegemonies of race, more accurately ethnicity, gender, sex, age, religion, heteronormative relationships, and most importantly, Christian beliefs. This last point is extraordinarily important. Christians are, and always have been, deemed the enemy by Marxist proselytes. Oddly enough, just knowing this should be liberating for believers. From the viewpoint of the classical liberal, the existence of government is motivated by the goal of protecting personal security and property. This function of the government is very important according to the liberal view because without the protection of property, productive benefits derived from property would not be worthwhile. Without government, Thomas Hobbes argued, humans would exist in what he called a state of nature, where life is solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. For the modern liberal, government's role of maintaining order gave way to maintaining control. This is an important difference to put it mildly. The chief tools of the modern liberal is the eradication of objective rationale by replacing it with social justice, critical theory, and by the redistribution of personal property. Ultimately, ownership is not an option. It's ironic that progressivism, a chief constituent of postmodernism, requires a step back in time to the loss of citizenship, to become subjects of the state. In the process, centuries of Western civilization are being abandoned. The state becomes the benevolent power broker by the unusual alliance of international corporations. The woke are a powerful tool to these new alliances. In true socialist fashion, the psychopathy of wokeism enables the woke to see others as mere children. They crave power and prestige, not by protecting people and personal property, but from subjugation and dependency. Casualties are of no serious concern. In one horrifying example, the woke will continue to promote transgenderism as the legitimate role of political power brokers. The whole world will one day see the tragedy that people will endure who suffer gender dysphoria or autism. We can say this confidently because it's already happening. The Daily Wire offers these heartbreaking examples. Teens suing doctors for removing breasts at age 13, putting her on puberty blockers, and YouTuber Lauren Southern shares powerful detrans story from Canada. The players may change, but the game is still the same. Today, for example, the once powerful trade unions have been dispossessed by service unions, particularly teachers' unions, as political power brokers. They are the ones assisting and enabling the tyrants to relieve people of the burden of owning, not just property, but their very own agency. No other nation has the history of America in enabling the poor to become the middle class, the bourgeoisie for Marx, et al. This is because the poor wanted that. But, America now faces the future as a nation of the ill-educated, and the radically programmed. But wait, there's more. Among the most cherished, and so it seems, the most fragile, of freedoms in this constitutional democracy is the freedom of speech. Refer back to the brief dialogue where we might have asked, can we talk about it? Michael Knowles, pictured, shares this latest development from our good friends at the World Economic Forum. I recommend you read it. More than once I have debated with people who say freedom of speech is not the same as freedom from censorship, which they will tell you is not constitutionally protected. Right, well, that's small comfort when we become cancelled and driven down the dark hole of obscurity, without any constitutional redress. I have long endeavored to provide insights and encouragement to believers living in a rapidly forming dystopia, the loss of our God-given identity, the loss of our personal agency, and our loss of freedom of speech. To name but a few. Of all of the people who need to be informed, and stay informed, it's a sacred obligation for the believer. Here's the reason why as I see it. If piety is our chief aim, then soiling our hands and feet wrestling with the demons of this world is out of the question. But it's within our power to see the lies, and confront them in every way possible. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Luke chapter 10 verse 17. Implicit in this passage is the idea while contending with the forces of evil, we are ministering to the people who are tormented and afflicted by it. If we know the truth of the gospel, why would we be reticent in using it to confront the lies of the devil? Here, I'm reminded of an intriguing book by Rod Dreher, titled, The Benedict Option. Sentinel, March 14, 2017. The book jacket reads, Today, a new post-Christian barbarism reigns. Many believers are blind to it, and their churches are too weak to resist. Politics offers little help in this spiritual crisis. What is needed is the Benedict option, a strategy that draws on the authority of Scripture and the wisdom of the ancient church, to embrace exile from the mainstream culture and construct a resilient counterculture. I'm afraid I find myself agreeing with Alasdair MacIntyre, who, though he inspired Dreher, wrote, When I said we need a new Saint Benedict, I was suggesting we need a new kind of engagement with the social order, not any kind of withdrawal from it. Yes, and amen. Now be inspired by this great song, O Church Arise photo by Madi Bafande on Unsplash.